BBC World Service. Haunted. Tales of the Supernatural. This week, Judy Cornwell and Timothy Bateson star in The Lamp by Agatha Christie, dramatized for radio by Patricia Mays.
Good morning, madam.
Good morning.
My name is Mr. Radnor. I'm the senior partner. Can I help you?
I'm looking for a property in the area.
Of course. I'm sure we shall be able to help you. Please sit down,
Mrs. Lancaster.
Please, ma'am.
Thank you.
Now, a large or small property, madam? We have a wide range on our books.
Not too small, you understand. And then again, not too large. Preferably with a reasonable rent.
Mm-hmm. Reasonable rent, you say?
Yes, that would be my preference.
See? Let me see. Well, we do have 19 Willow Square. It's a very charming residence of medium size. Its rent, too, is very reasonable. It's on three floors with two or three attics. You don't have to use them all, of course. The drawing room downstairs is spacious with a delightful aspect across the square.
How many bedrooms?
Three of adequate size, and one of the attic rooms has served for a bedroom in the past, I understand. How many servants have you, madam, if you don't mind me asking?
One, only the one.
Hmm. Well, I think 19 Willow Square would be very acceptable in the circumstances. Here are the details.
Yes, the rent is very good, as you say. Still, I would like to see some others, if I may.
Of course, madam, of course. Now, these are mainly larger properties, of course, and it's possible the rent might be too much. I don't know. 21 Rapier Court.
That would be too expensive.
Mm-hmm. And there's 53 Edinburgh Avenue. That's a nice little house, recently come on the market.
It's still a little on the expensive side.
Well, in all honesty, madam, I think you would be well advised to allow me to take you to see 19 Willow Square. I'm sure you'll find it most acceptable.
Kindly step inside, Mrs. Lancaster. Smells a little musty, of course.
Of course. The staircase comes right down into the front room. How nice. It's very impressive, Mr. Radnor.
I thought you'd like it. Now, where would you like to start?
The bedrooms, I think.
Right. We'll work our way down. Very sensible. Shall I lead the way?
Yes, very nice. Very spacious. Tell me, Mr. Radnor, what is the matter with the house?
Matter, Mrs. Lancaster?
Yes, what's wrong with it?
Well, of course, an unfurnished house is always a little gloomy.
Nonsense. The rent is ridiculously low for such a house. Merely nominal. There must be some reason for it. Oh. The house isn't haunted, is it?
Haunted?
No, of course, that is foolish. I don't believe in ghosts or anything of that sort, and Personally, it's no deterrent to my taking the house. But servants, unfortunately, are very credulous and easily frightened. It would be kind of you to tell me exactly what thing is supposed to haunt this place.
Really, Mrs. Lancaster, I don't know.
I am sure you do. I cannot take this house without knowing. What was it? A murder?
Good heavens, no, no. Nothing like that.
Well then, Mr. Radnor, what does haunt this house?
It's, only a child.
A child?
Yes.
Go on.
I don't know the story exactly. Of course, there are all sorts of different versions, but, I believe about 30 years ago, a man by the name of Williams took this house. Nothing was known of him. He kept no servants. He had no friends. He seldom went out in the daytime. He had only one child, a little boy. One day, after he'd been here for 2 months, he went up to London. He'd hardly set foot in the metropolis before he was recognised as being a man wanted by the police on some charge. Exactly what, I don't know. Mm. But it must have been a grave one, because sooner than give himself up, he shot himself.
Oh.
Meanwhile, the child lived on here, alone, in the house. He had food for a little time, and he waited day after day for his father to return. Of course, he did not do so. And, unfortunately, it had been impressed upon him that he was never, under any circumstances, to go out of the house or to speak to anyone. Mm. He was a weak, ailing little creature, and he did not dream of disobeying this command. In the night, the neighbours, not knowing that his father had gone away, often heard him sobbing in the awful loneliness and desolation of this empty house. And...
and?
He starved to death.
Oh, that is a terrible story. And it's the child's ghost that is supposed to haunt the place.
Well, it's nothing of consequence, really. I mean, no one ever sees anything. Nothing's seen, you understand. But some do say that they hear the child crying, you know.
I like the house very much, Mr. Radnor. I shall get nothing as good for the price. I am a widow, you see.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And my elderly father and small son live with me. I will think it over and let you know. This room is looking cheerful already, isn't it, Father?
Transformed, my dear. Here you are. Look, I've made you a cup of tea.
Mm. Oh, thank you. I need it. Oh, that's good. Hot and sweet, just as I like it. I think the Indian carpet should go in this room, don't you?
Oh, as you wish. You know you have exquisite taste. You'll transform this gloomy old house into a magic grotto in no time, I've no doubt.
A gift I inherited from you and Mama. Sit down. You must be tired.
Yes. I will for a moment. Oh, those stairs, I fear. Not as young as I was, huh? By the time you finish with this place, no one will think it's haunted.
Papa, please, not on our first day.
All right. We'll agree there are no such things as ghosts.
If you would, especially in front of Geoffrey. You know what an imagination he has, and he mustn't get excited. He's been much better of late, and the colour's returned to his cheeks.
Listen.
What?
Footsteps. Can't you hear them?
I can't hear anything.
Shh.
It's the rain on the window. Oh, you are dreadful, Papa. Oh, for a moment I thought... Oh, well, never mind. Now, where is Geoffrey? He's been quiet for too long. I hope Jane's with him. And don't you dare play another trick like that on me again. Geoffrey! Geoffrey!
Yes, Mummy?
Grandfather has prepared tea for us. You had better come down.
All right, I'm coming.
And be careful as you come down the stairs. I expect he's been having one big adventure up there. Oh, I hope he hasn't caught a chill in those empty bedrooms.
Valerie, don't worry so much. You make yourself ill. There'll be more room for him in this house. All the nooks and crannies are filled with excitement for an inquisitive young boy.
That's it, Geoffrey. Come along.
Ah, there you are, Geoffrey. Now, you sit on that chest.
What's the matter, Grandfather?
Nothing, my dear, nothing. It must have been the rain I heard. But I could have sworn.
Now, Geoffrey, would you like a scone?
I'm looking at the sponge cake.
Don't you want a scone first?
A piece of sponge cake, please.
Very well.
Here, I'll cut a slice for you, my boy.
What have you been doing upstairs? And where's Jane?
She's busy sorting out things in my room.
I hope you're not getting in her way.
No, Mummy.
Do you like your room?
Oh, yes, it's lovely.
So you're pleased with your new home, are you?
There's your cake.
Thank you. Oh, yes, I like it lots. There are at least two separate attics up there, and Jane says I can go and explore them tomorrow.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, please, Mummy.
Not on your own.
Jane will come with me, and there's a secret door.
Is there now?
Jane says there isn't, but I think there must be. And anyhow, I know there'll be pipes, water pipes, and I can play with them and listen to the water gurgle along them, and I can go and see the boiler.
Oh, goodness sake, Geoffrey, take a breath. Jane has promised you an awful lot without consulting
me. No harm can come of it, Valerie.
Thank you, Grandfather.
You encourage him.
Well, he's a boy. All boys have adventurous natures. Otherwise, they wouldn't be boys, eh?
We'll talk about attics tomorrow. Now, eat your tea, and together we can get this room straightened out before it gets dark.
Listen. What's that?
What, Grandfather?
Please, remember what I told you.
Yes, nothing, my boy. Just the rain. I think it was the rain. What's happening? Where am I? What city is this?
Where is he? Have you brought him?
No. No, I'm sorry. I have not. Oh, my God. Where am I? Oh, it was a dream. Only a dream. What's that? Geoffrey? Is that you crying? Stopped. That can't have been Geoffrey. His room's below mine, but the sound came from the room above.
Papa? Papa, dear?
Hmm? Yes?
You're not eating your breakfast.
Huh? Oh, sorry. Mind's wandering.
Listen to the wind. Quite a change in the weather. Did you sleep well last night, Geoffrey?
Yes, Mummy.
Don't eat your breakfast so fast, Geoffrey. You're not something out of the zoo.
No, Mummy.
Oh, just hearing that wind blowing in the chimney. Are you sure you're all right, Papa?
Yes, thank you.
Your breakfast is stone cold. You haven't eaten a thing.
Oh, I'm sorry, my dear, but I'm not very hungry. Listen.
I hope you're not sickening for something, Papa. You know what I think? I think you did too much yesterday. I think you should rest all today and do absolutely nothing. Jane and I can manage...
Be quiet!
Papa? What is it? You frightened us.
What?
It's all right, Grandfather. There's nothing to worry about.
Oh, I am sorry. Forgive me. It was nothing. Honestly, it was nothing. You're right. I'll take things easier today.
Geoffrey, have you seen Grandfather anywhere?
No, Mummy.
Oh, perhaps he's lying down. I won't disturb him with ears. What are you doing?
Looking out of the window.
Oh, can't you find something more interesting to do than that?
I'm bored.
Well, why don't you get me one of your books and let me hear you read?
I don't want to. I'd wish you'd let me play with the little boy.
Which little boy, dear?
I don't know his name. He was in the attic. Sitting on the floor, crying. But he ran away when he saw me. I suppose he was shy. And then when I was in the playroom, building a house with my bricks, I saw him standing by the door, watching me.
What are you saying, dear?
I looked straight at him and said, "Come and help me." But he didn't say anything. And then when I asked Jane who he was and told her I wanted to play with him, she said there wasn't a boy in the house. Not to tell lies. I don't love Jane anymore.
Jane was right. There is no little boy.
But I saw him. Oh, Mummy, do let me play with him. He looks so lonely and unhappy. Like I must have been just now.
Geoffrey.
Oh, Papa. You startled me. I didn't hear you come down.
That poor little boy is lonely. And perhaps you can do something to comfort him. But you must find out how by yourself. Like a puzzle, do you see?
Geoffrey, I think you'd better go upstairs and find Jane. It's time you washed ready for tea.
Oh, all right.
Papa, this is absurd, and it has to stop.
What are you talking about, Valerie?
Encouraging him to believe the idle tales of servants.
No servant has told the child anything, Valerie. That boy has seen what I hear.
What you're saying is ridiculous.
Is it?
Of course it is. Why don't I see or hear it, then?
Do you remember these words? What lamp has destiny to guide her little children stumbling in the dark? A blind understanding, Evan replied. Well, don't you see? Geoffrey has that. A blind understanding. It is only as we grow older that we lose it. We cast it away from us. Sometimes when we are quite old, a faint gleam comes back to us, but the lamp burns brightest in childhood. That is why I think Geoffrey may help.
I don't pretend to understand.
Oh, no more do I. That ghost child, for that is what it is in trouble and wants to be set free. How? I do not know. It's awful to think of it. Sobbing its heart out. A child.
Well, Dr. Phillips, how is he?
The doctor will tell us after he's examined him, Valerie.
But I want to know. It's been 3 days now, and he doesn't seem to be getting any better.
I'll be with you in one moment, Mrs. Lancaster.
He's feverish, and he keeps gasping for air. Then he'll sleep peacefully.
Please, Mrs. Lancaster, I'm trying to listen to his lungs.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
There, there, my dear. Geoffrey will be all right.
He's never been strong. He's like his father. He suffered with a weak chest, too. He caught a chill and it turned into bronchitis. And...
There, there.
He's not responding to any medication, I'm afraid.
Oh, no.
I think we should try to get him into hospital.
Oh, is that necessary?
No, it's the best place for him, Valerie.
May I speak to you privately, Mr. Wimbledon?
Oh, of course. Shall we go downstairs?
Oh, excuse us, please, Mrs. Lancaster.
This way.
Thank you.
Well, Doctor, you can tell me the truth.
I understand your grandson has a history of lung trouble.
Yes.
Almost from birth.
I'm afraid so, yes. My daughter has always had to protect him from colds and chills.
Yeah. I'm afraid he has an infection in both lungs. Unfortunately, he hasn't the constitution to withstand it.
I see. What are you saying, Doctor?
That even if I get him into hospital, there's very little chance that the boy will live. I'm very sorry.
Excuse me for saying this, but... are you certain?
Mr. Wimbledon, you're perfectly free to consult another doctor at the hospital when we get him there, but in my opinion, his case is hopeless. I would be failing in my duty if I held out any false hopes. One lung is on the point of collapse. In a short time, the other will be the same. He cannot take the strain, you see.
Yeah. How do I tell my daughter? You can see the state she's in.
I don't know, Mr. Wimbledon. I honestly don't know.
Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
I do want to help him get away. I do.
Geoffrey,
I do.
Geoffrey, please.
I do. I do.
What's that? Someone crying. A child crying? But who is it? Who's there?
Valerie.
What?
What's wrong?
He cried out. Geoffrey cried out.
Excuse me, Mrs. Lancaster.
Suddenly sat up and cried out, and then...
And then?
I heard.
He's delirious. His breathing's becoming shallower, too.
What can we do?
For the moment, wait. I'll go to the hospital and arrange for an ambulance.
I'll see you out.
No, Mr. Wimbledon. Stay here, please. I won't be long.
He's going to die, isn't he?
No, my dear, no.
Yes, he is. Just like his father. I shall sit here and I shall watch him die.
Please, Valerie, you must have hope.
My son, fight. Fight to live. Want to live, Geoffrey. What is it? Are you in pain? Geoffrey? Geoffrey, what are you doing? You mustn't sit up.
I'm coming. I'm coming.
What did you say? What's happening? Oh, God. Oh, I'm frightened. Oh, I'm frightened. Stop it. Please, stop laughing.
Valerie. Oh. Valerie, what's happening?
Can't you hear it? Can't you hear him laughing?
Oh, my God.
Oh, hold me, Papa. Hold me, please. Geoffrey. Look, Papa. He's sitting up again. He's pointing to the door.
I'm coming. I'm coming.
The door. He's pointing to something at the door. Listen. Can't you hear them? Someone's coming up the stairs.
What?
He's coming upstairs. The child. The child. Oh, he's here. In this room. The child is in this room.
Papa!
Shh, don't move. Valerie, come away from the door. Let them go.
Let them go? Oh, there are two of them. Two?
Yes, dear. Two children. Now.
Geoffrey.
Don't look. He's gone. Can't you hear? Silence. Nothing but silence.
That was The Lamp by Agatha Christie, with Judy Cornwell as Mrs. Lancaster, Timothy Bateson as Mr. Winburn, and Marco Ferraro as Geoffrey. William Edel was Radnor, Arnold Diamond, the Doctor, and Simon Meacock, the Child. Technical presentation was by Prue Manmure. This was a BBC World Service drama production directed by Derek Hodinott.